Amen. I want to read my text. I'm not going to preach on it. I'm going to make a comment, and we're going to pray. I believe the testimony of the songs and everything this morning. But what a tragedy for some here and maybe on the internet will not have a Heavenly Father. They don't have a Heavenly Father. It's one thing to have an earthly father that loves you and takes care of you, and that's a blessing. You need that. God ordered it that way. But He wants to be your Heavenly Father. We were over in the old building. There was a young couple that God did a special work in. They were not married, living together. One of our church families met them, kind of befriended them, took them into their home, would not let them sleep in the same bed, put them in a different bedroom, got them coming to church. They were teenagers. And over in the old building, we had Vacation Bible School. They asked if they could come. And they did. During the first part of that week, that young lady trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. The young man had been witnessed to several times. People shared Christ with him over in the old building, befriended him. You went out of your way, those of you who were there, to be kind to that couple and helped them so many ways. And it was a long vacation Bible school. We had a great one. The last night of that meeting, we had just finished everything. Everybody's picking up everything. That lady who had befriended this couple came to me. She said, "Brother Billy, will you go back there and witness to him one more time?" And I was tired. I was give out. And I said, "Well, honey," I said, "we've prayed for him and witnessed to him." She said, "Please go back and talk to him." And I went back, and he just sat there, and I could tell he didn't want to be there. She'd about made him stay. She said this morning her husband had taken the scriptures and gone through the scriptures with him and pleaded with him once again. And I sat down, and I was about half mad at him, to be honest with you. And I said, "Man," I said, "your wife got saved. You believe she got saved?" He said, "I do." I said, "The folk of this church have been good to you. They've been over backwards. They've given to you and done for you. Haven't you seen Christ in these people?" He said, "I have." I said, "The Lord loved you and died for you." I said, is there somebody that's done something? Is there some Christian you've known and they've disappointed you and they didn't live a life in front of you?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, man, why don't you know you're going to die and go to hell? Why don't you get saved? Why don't you trust Christ?" He kind of lowered his head and he mumbled something. And I said, "Boy, look at me." I said, I'm here. I want to help you. And you won't even look at me and talk to me." And I said, "What did you say?" He said, "I'm mad at God." I said, "Why are you mad at God?" I said, "What's he ever done to you?" He said, "I'm mad at him." He said, "I've watched these daddies play with their boys. And I watched them go in and out of church. I never had a daddy. I never knew my daddy. My mama was pregnant with me, and I never knew who it was. I watched my mama have boyfriend after boyfriend come in the house. Some of them treated me okay. Many of them were mean to me." He said, "But I see these families. When I was 9 years old, my mama had a boyfriend that didn't want me around. And we went to Raleigh, said we was going shopping. And mama pulled up in a place in downtown Raleigh, and we got out of the car. And she said, 'Stay right here.' And mama got in the car and drove off. From the time I was 9 years old, I lived in the streets of Raleigh by myself." He showed me one day a building where when he was 12 years old, he found an old mattress in the back alley and drug it up there. And he slept up there for 2 years up on top of a building in Raleigh. He said, "I'm mad at God. Why wouldn't God let me have a good family? Why wouldn't God let me have a daddy?" And I said, "Son, that's not God's fault." I said, "Oh, that's because of sin." I said, "That's sin. That's the results of sin. And I'm sorry that happened to you, but that's what sin does. Sin kills and destroys and ruins lives." I said, "But I want to tell you about God." I said, "He wants to be your daddy." And I tell you right now, I saw that boy when the Holy Ghost of God hit him with that truth just that quick. He bowed his head and broke again and began to weep. And I told him how much the Heavenly Father loves him. That he had a perfect son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he let his son come, be clothed in human flesh and suffer and bleed and die so that you could be his son. That miracle of adoption, he who had such a perfect son would adopt imperfect son. That's amazing grace to me. He who had a perfect son would allow that son to suffer and bleed and die to purchase imperfect sons. That's amazing to me. He who had such a perfect son would even want somebody like me. That was amazing to me. And I said, he wants to be your daddy. He's provided for your salvation. He'll meet every need of your life. And I promise you one thing, son. He's a daddy who won't ever leave you. He'll be with you through everything. And that young man gave his heart to the Lord. And those of you over there saw them grow. They moved on. They're somewhere else now. But we saw God do wonderful things in his life. I was riding with him to Raleigh. He'd gotten in trouble with the law before he ever got saved. After he'd been in church for some time, he'd come to him and said, Brother Bill, I got to go to Raleigh. And I said, why? He said, I did some things. I broke parole. And he said, God won't let me get over it. I've got to go up there. I've already called him. Will you ride with me? And I said, I will. Went in and stood with that boy in that room. He talked with that officer there in Raleigh. And he told him he was sorry for what he did. And told him how that he'd gotten saved. And what a difference it made. And he said, but I know I've done wrong and I need to serve my time. And this man was he agreed and he was moved. I could tell he was moved by the boy's testimony. And the boy, he said, but son, I'm going to have to lock you up. He said, we'll do everything we can to help you. And by your prayers, you remember, he was there about a week and he got out. But he put his hands out like behind him and turned around. And the guy said, don't do that, son. He said, turn around. He said, put your hands in front of you. He said, if I don't have to chase you, you can put your hands in front of you. If you put your hands in front of me, just surrender to me. He said, that's the way we do it, if you just put your hands in front of you. And he was so kind to that young boy. But on the way up there, that boy cried. Not because he's going to go up there and spend some time in jail. But he said, Brother Billy, I can't believe what God's done for me. He said, I've got a wife and a little boy. He said, I've got Christian family and friends. He said, I got on good clothes. And he said, you know what? He said, if God don't never do nothing else for me, this has been amazing what he's done for me. Can I say to you, in the book of Isaiah chapter 61, I want to read you the text that I'm going to preach on in a few weeks. Listen to what he says. Here's the testimony of our Lord, and he repeats it in Luke 4. The Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the open of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, and to comfort all that mourn. The Lord Jesus Christ came to set at liberty, to make free, to declare good news, to meet every need. That's why he came. I wouldn't want to be just a Baptist. I wouldn't want to be a Methodist. I wouldn't want to be anything named religion. But I sure am glad I'm a child of the King. Amen. I sure am glad there was a day that I bowed my knee and I was born again, born into the family. And I'm glad I don't just know him as God. I know him as my Heavenly Father. He broke every chain. He delivered me from everything. And he bound up my broken heart. And he gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. The word Father means provider. And I want to testify to you. In these 40 some odd years now that I've been serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and even before that, he's given me everything I've ever needed. I've never needed anything he didn't provide for me. And I want to thank him for that today. And I want to tell you today, he's got everything you need. You say, Brother Billy, you don't know what I am. You don't know what I've got. I got news for you. He did before you was ever born. And he had the touch of God. He had the anointing of God. I'll deal with all that, about all that later. But he came to do that. You understand why he came? That's why he came. He came to do that. He came to set at liberty. He came to release those that were bound. He came to forgive sin. He came to give you everlasting life. That's what He wants to do. He wants to be your daddy.